Hi again, everyone. This is Alan Gura. I'm sorry that I couldn't attend GRPC this year in person, but I do look forward to seeing everyone again at next year's conference. Meanwhile, I'm happy to report that SAF continues to make significant progress in securing your Second Amendment rights. I'd like to go over where we are and provide some guidance as to what we can expect to see in the coming year. The Supreme Court handed down major Second Amendment cases in 2008 and again in 2010. I would not be surprised if another major Second Amendment decision is handed down in 2013. This past term saw a number of petitions to the Supreme Court raising Second Amendment challenges. While most of these petitions didn't appear to have much chance of being accepted for lack of an interesting question or split of authority or other compelling circumstances, a few of these petitions were at least plausible, and indeed, SAF supported one of these cases, U.S. versus Machandaro, with an amicus brief. Notably, although the High Court did not accept any of the gun rights cases brought before it in the past term, it appears that in each case, even the less compelling ones, the court asked the respondent to brief their opposition to the petition. So, the court remains interested in the topic, even if none of last year's crop of petitions was sufficiently compelling. That's going to change. Some great cases are winding their way up the judicial food chain, and some are producing splits of authority in the lower federal court that the Supreme Court will have to address. Moreover, in some cases, the opinions appear to be outright defiant of the Supreme Court's opinions in Heller and McDonald, and I believe that eventually this will attract the High Court's attention as well. It will probably not surprise anyone here that the Second Amendment Foundation stands at the forefront of the effort to protect your right to keep and bear arms in the courts. We're not the only ones doing it, but in terms of breadth, scope, quality, and results, SAF remains the leader. I'm very proud of the litigation team that SAF assembles and of the local gun rights organizations that work with us as we continue to make America a better place by suing the government. We're doing everything we can to get good cases before the courts and to support the worthwhile efforts of others in doing so. Please remember, though, the law is complex and moves slowly. We cannot do everything at once, nor would that be a good idea. Results take time and a great deal of resources. And for every case you hear about, there might be a few other matters being handled discreetly and, of course, being investigated. Please also bear in mind that sometimes, hard as it may be to believe, judges get things wrong. Nobody is fully satisfied with the way the courts treat any part of the Constitution. Nobody thinks that all First Amendment cases, for example, are decided correctly. And so it's not realistic to expect perfection when it comes to the Second Amendment. There will be downs as well as ups. But we can expect progress. So let's recount where we are today and take a look at where we're going in the year to come. A year ago, we were pleased to report our initial victory in Ezell versus City of Chicago, our challenge to that city's total ban on gun ranges. The Seventh Circuit's opinion in Ezell was a landmark decision in many respects. Among other points, it confirmed that there is a right to access and use a gun range. Note, that's something that usually happens outside the home, at least in Chicago. Ezell confirmed that Second Amendment violations can cause irreparable harm, and that the government, not the citizens, bears the burden of justifying regulations on the Second Amendment right. We're now looking forward to the sequel, as Chicago opted to re-ban gun ranges by passing absurd regulations that make it impossible to own and operate a gun range. So our case continues. We'd expect a ruling at the district court level, hopefully sometime in 2013, and perhaps even another Seventh Circuit decision in Ezell as well. In Fletcher versus Haas, a case organized with Commonwealth Second Amendment and litigated by Joe Hickson, a federal judge struck down Massachusetts' ban on the issuance of handgun carry permits to legal resident aliens. In a similar case brought by SAF and Nebraska Firearm Owners Association, litigated by David Siegel and Bernie Glazer, saw a court strike down Omaha's handgun ban imposed against resident aliens. Many other cases remain unresolved and are progressing through the courts. In the time allotted here, it is simply not possible for me to discuss each and every case that SAF supports, let alone to do so in a meaningfully deep way. But while any of the current SAF-supported cases might get to the Supreme Court, as might a few other good Second Amendment cases, it seems most likely that the next Second Amendment case, or cases, to make it to One First Street will involve the right to carry handguns outside the home for self-defense. I don't need to tell this audience how important that right is, or describe for you in any detail how it exists. Suffice it to say, in Heller, the Supreme Court defined bear in the Second Amendment as carry, and devoted many pages to explaining how the right to carry functions outside the home. As a practical matter, the need for self-defense can arise anywhere, not just in one's dwelling. Securing the right to carry is vital to making the Second Amendment meaningful for many millions of Americans. Thus, SAF and others have focused a great deal of energy trying to vindicate the right to bear arms. We have yet to see the first federal appellate decision squarely determining application of this right. At the district court level, some courts have recognized this important right and on occasion have struck down restrictive laws. Other federal district courts have avoided the topic for a variety of reasons. It would not be surprising were the split continue to manifest itself as the cases move up to the next level. In March, we won Bateman versus Purdue, a case we pursued in conjunction with Grassroots North Carolina, challenging that state's state of emergency laws, under which the state barred people from buying guns and ammunition and from carrying guns whenever it determined that an emergency threatened public order. Now, our friends at the Brady Center charged that we were arguing for the right to take guns into a riot, or perhaps more accurately, when the police declare that they can't be there to protect you and public order has broken down, then only the police should have guns, wherever they happen to be, which of course is not with you. The court agreed with us that there is a right to have and carry guns during times of emergency. Unfortunately, the state has not appealed its loss, so Bateman, while very helpful to the people of North Carolina and a compelling, persuasive precedent, will not itself go further. That same month, we won Willard versus Sheridan, our challenge to Maryland's May issue law. The decision is stayed pending appeal. But at least technically, if not yet in reality, we've made the so-called free state a little more free. Appellate arguments in Willard are slated for October 24th. And also in March, I argued at the 10th Circuit in Denver for SAF and Cal guns as a friend of the court in Drew Peterson's challenge to Denver's total carry ban imposed against non-residents.